I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape. And now, Joan Lipkin, Chris Limber, and Donald Miller join us for a preview of Briefs, a festival of short LGBT plays that will be presented next weekend at La Perla in downtown St. Louis. Welcome to everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Can I interest anyone in some pie pizza? Because I have some right there. Would you look at that?
Oh my goodness.
That's gorgeous.
Oh, seriously.
These
are great stage effects, right?
Donald, you could write a play about this.
I probably could if I put my mind to it.
I think that you could.
Donald is doing such a great job with his writing. I think he could write a play about anything at this point.
And it's your first play.
It is, yes.
May I call you Don?
Yeah, Don's fine.
So,
Yeah, my background is in writing primarily. In my former life, I was a corporate trainer, so I did a lot of writing, which was sort of dry and not very interesting. And I went back to graduate school back in 2004 to Webster and got my master's in media literacy. And I actually have a textbook. I'm a co-author on a textbook by Art Silverblatt that's publishing within the next few months. But again, as far as creative writing, this was my first stab at a play.
And Chris, as I remember, I think you've directed – this is the third season for Briefs. Haven't you directed in each?
I directed during the second Briefs Festival. Saw the first one. Thought it was a tremendous addition to the artistic fabric of our city, and asked Joan if I could participate the second year. So, and this year I get the added joy of working with some of the playwrights who are local here in town. The playwrights are from all over the country, but there are several that are from here in St. Louis.
Right. Joan, maybe you might want to mention that. You auditioned, is that the right word? Quite a few people.
You mean, in terms of submissions, we had almost 100 submissions. And actually, you'd be surprised, Steve, but it's really hard to write a good 10-minute play. Something that is distinguished from being a sketch, right? So we had a lot of stuff come in.
Right, because if it's mediocre, you don't have a lot of time to improve. it's got to be good from the beginning.
That's one way of looking at it. What it has to do is has to contain an entire world. It has to have a whole journey for the characters and of course, for the audience. So what happened was some of the pieces that came in had great promise, but they needed a little bit of help to sort of find that core, to find that narrative structure. And so we brought Chris in, which I think is actually one of the smartest things I've done this year because he's...
Oh, that's nice to hear.
He's just so experienced. He's an excellent playwright himself and director, and he really understands, you know, the theatrical experience. And that was great because we said to Donald, this is such an interesting premise. But, you know, may I say this, Don?
Oh, please go right ahead.
It reads a little bit more like an editorial, you know, point and counterpoint.
Yeah.
Let's get the juice. Let's get the sizzle. Let's get the sex back in this piece.
It didn't have a whole lot of dimension initially.
Yeah. But what was really wonderful about working with Donald is that I said this to him in the most gracious way, because I said this to a few people. I said, you know, either this piece is overwritten or would you consider cutting it? We give you that option. And some people said, no, I want to keep my piece the way it is. And I'd say, well, you know, I'm not sure that I can produce it in that form. But Donald just took the ball and he ran with it. And we had a reading with some actors, with Chris and Ken Haller, so that we could hear it. And then he was really ready to dive into it. And it's just incredible. It's a very strong piece now.
All right. I want to ask you about that, Don, in one moment. But first, Chris, what are you directing?
I'm directing a piece called Messages Deleted, and it's a very affecting scene about a gay couple. One of the partners has just been in a car accident, and his partner is cleaning out his apartment, and they have to deal with the whole issue of the family of the deceased person who is in denial about his homosexuality. And so you actually see these two characters interact from the spirit world and from the real world. And then the
connecting with his deceased partner.
Yes. And then the father comes in, and that complicates the situation even more. So it's a marvelous piece, and it's almost exactly 10 minutes.
Really? And is it depressing?
No, it's actually, there's a lot of humor, there's a lot of tender moments, and the playwright says a lot about that particular situation, about a family that's in denial about one of their family members being homosexual.
Hmm. Don, what about yours? If you mention the name of it.
It's Strange Bedfellows.
And tell me about it.
as Joan sort of alluded to earlier, I'm very politically oriented, sometimes to my detriment, actually. And I thought it would be really interesting to kind of look at what would happen if a couple who had been dating for a brief period of time, during the course of sort of a mundane conversation, one of the men, two men dating, one of them revealed that he was, in fact, a Republican, a conservative Republican. And I just kind of went with that. And to Joan's earlier point, I think initially when I wrote it, since I do follow politics so closely and I watch the Sunday morning shows, et cetera, that going back and rereading it after she gave me the feedback, it did read as more of sort of a point, counterpoint argument as opposed to something with real characterization.
You know, I find that really interesting because you, on one level you'd think I'm – maybe I shouldn't reveal this. I'm the kind of person that if I'm close to someone, I sort of like them to agree with what I think.
Well, that comes up in the play.
So. But,
yeah. But you can be busy doing other things and then finally discover these things, Steve.
My dad was married to my mom for a long time. When she passed away, he married a lady from a different political party, and they didn't have any problems with it. They didn't argue politics. I just think that's interesting.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that. And again, they've been together. They've been going out a fairly brief amount of time. And when you initially start going out with people, as Joan said, you're usually busy doing other things.
Well,
I think
that they've been mostly staying in.
Yeah, they've been staying in a lot.
As opposed to going out.
When you say other things.
Eating pizza.
As opposed to talking.
Right.
They've been eating pizza.
Joan, I went to Brief for the first time last year and really enjoyed it. And you did something a little different for a play festival. There was another element that wasn't a play. It was a silent performance piece. So maybe you might say something about that. Are you going to do something like that again this year?
Oh, and thank you for coming last year. We loved having you. And I'm hoping that we'll see you again this upcoming weekend, or next weekend, I should say. Last year we did a wonderful 10-minute silent piece, almost like a film, really, by Lola Van Ella and Sammy the Tramp. Yeah, we're always mixing it up. Darren Sliman and the team at Vital Voice, who are our creative partners, we're always thinking of new ways to make things even more exciting and interesting. So we're going to have burlesque aerial artists to open all of the shows.
Michelle, just say that one more time.
I'm not sure I can. Maybe if I eat a piece of pizza. Michelle Minx from Gravity Plays Favorites and Ricky Phoenix will be doing opening acts where they fly around the space. It's incredible. And we also have a performance piece by I'm going to mispronounce Desiree's name. What's really interesting, Steve, is that it's a real range of work. In the past, when we think about LGBT theater, there have been primarily three narratives. It's been the coming out story, work that deals with HIV and AIDS, or the marriage play right now because of where we are in terms of the marriage equality movement. But there are so many other stories. And so these are the stories that we tell.
We'll mention a couple that we haven't mentioned yet.
Well, for example, we have a piece by Brigham Mosley that is a Victorian version of Grindr. And we might need to translate for our listening audience. Does anybody want to explain what Grindr is?
Well, that's how you meet people, I guess, on the internet. Well, it's not kind of.
Not primary. It's for gay men to meet over the internet, so.
It's a virtual experience.
Okay, just say it. Yeah. It's a hookup service.
It is a hookup service. It is, but it's a Victorian version.
What is that?
Well, I what would you think? It might involve top hats and pulleys and handlebar mustaches.
No iPhones.
Garters, maybe. I don't. It's very funny. Ryan Foisey is directing it. We've got fantastic directors. Bonnie Taylor is back with us again, and we also have Teresa Masters with her first play. Leanne Matthews is doing something. Michael Perkins, and of course, I am directing something.
What's your piece about?
My piece is a love story. It's really about how someone finds the courage to work through a broken heart and finds the courage to continue to be open to having a relationship with the help of her best friend. And what's interesting about it is for gay people, friends are family. So, you know, these best friends are family for each other. It's very funny. It's also touching. And it features the fabulous Megan McGuire and Sarah Hamilton.
Chris and Don, I'd like to get your thoughts on something. Part of, I think, what Joan has in mind about this one element, maybe it's a small element, but it's bringing people together, an audience together that might not be together under normal circumstances and to spark, I guess, a dialogue. Mm-hmm. So how do you see that as it relates to briefs?
Chris, do you know?
Well, there's a vast diversity in the audience, gay and straight, that come to see the plays. The plays have a dimension for the gay community, but also they're universal. All of them are dealing with love relationships and themes that apply to all. So it's a great place to come and see wonderful new theater and also to have a party afterwards where you can talk. The venue is such that it promotes a discussion after the play.
Right. I was there at La Perla. It's really a neat place, and I think Joan and I even danced together. I'll throw that in there. Any thoughts about that, Don, about the conversation?
Yeah. When we did the first read-through, and we talked a little bit about the direction that my play needed to go in, Joan said something really interesting, which is when you start going out with someone, and this is whether you're gay, straight, bisexual, whatever, there are things you normally find out about that person that you didn't know, and maybe that was by omission or maybe it was by commission. But there are things that you definitely don't know about them, and some of those might be benign things and some might be really important things. And in my piece, it's important to both of these individuals.
That Uppity Theater Company and the Vital Voice present Briefs, a festival of short LGBT plays, next Friday, that's March 21st at 8 p.m., Saturday the 22nd with performances at 4 p.m. and 8, then Sunday, March 23rd at 2 p.m. It's all at La Perla on North 8th Street in St. Louis. And if you go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, we'll have a link to Uppity Theater Company's website. You're listening to St. Louis Public Radio. And Joan, you've been spending a lot of time in New York. Last few times I've talked to you, it seems like you've been back and forth.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I joke about my parents, who I call the ancient ones. With every day, I feel like I should call them the more ancient ones. My dad's 96 and my mom is 91.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm wanting to be there some of the time so I can spend more time with them. But I also have a lot of work on the East Coast. I was at Cornell last week giving a talk and a workshop. And I'm going to Princeton next month. I just directed a stage reading by former St. Louisan Charlie Gershman. So, you know, I'm sort of one of the early folks in theater and social change, and my work is actually taught around the country. So I do a lot of college work, and the East Coast has been very good to me.
Well, we're glad you're back in town for this. So what's been the most fun part of getting ready for this particular briefs presentation? Chris and Don, in closing?
Well, one of the things working with new playwrights is that you get to tackle the creative experience. And as a dramaturg, what you do is you ask questions and you offer a few suggestions, and then something comes back to you that's completely different, and that's very refreshing as an artist.
And Don, as a new playwright?
Yeah, it's been really a trip. It's been kind of a heady thing. When we did the read-through, to hear the actors bring it to life has been amazing. Chris and Joan have been beyond nurturing with me, again, since I am a novice at this.
And now you have a second play.
And I'm writing a second one right now, so
they've
inspired me to do that. It is about a group of three writers on a network sitcom TV who are writing for a gay sitcom, and through the course of a meeting that they have, they sort of discover that instead of really contributing to breaking down stereotypes, they might in fact be adding to them.
That's Don Miller, a playwright, and we've also been talking to Chris Limber, who's directing another play during Briefs. Again, Briefs. Next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page for more information. And just briefly, Joan, in closing, you know, a lot of these plays are new ones, like Don's here. I think some have gone on, maybe it was yours, to be produced a few by other companies after this.
Yeah, it's just incredible. My play that I wrote, Are You Married?, that was done for the first time last February, has since been produced at three theaters, including three in New York, and it's going to be presented as the keynote at a national healthcare conference next month in Columbia, as well as at a med school there. And that's through the good graces of our friend Cheryl Whalen from SAGE.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Joan Lipkin, Chris Limber, Don Miller, thank you all for being here today.
Thanks
very much.
Our pleasure.
Coming up next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk with cellist Grant Rue, winner of this year's St. Louis Symphony Youth Orchestra Concerto Competition, and with British record producer engineer Ken Scott. We'll be talking about his experiences recording with the Beatles, Elton John, Pink Floyd, and others. Then join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he'll take a look at efforts to prevent a lead poisoning epidemic in St. Louis. And then we'll talk with writer and historian Jeff Cowie about his research on the 1970s working class, which inspired a play currently running at the Rep. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, and Amanda Hunnigfort. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening, and please join us next week.